Let's go. Welcome on into the Friday edition of the Auburn Daily Show. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby, senior baseball writer for auburndaily.com, joined by Harrison Tarr, senior women's basketball and softball correspondent for auburndaily.com. He is also the host of the College Loop three times a week, all Auburn sports that exist. I am also the host of Locked On MLB Prospects five times a week. We only talk about minor league baseball. Speaking of baseball and softball and all of that, that's what I want to get to, because softball started last weekend. Baseball starts tonight. So this will go up at 3 p.m. 1 hour after that, Auburn has first pitch versus Indiana. And at the exact time that this goes up, I've heard they're actually holding the first pitch until this is live. Softball will start the Tiger Invitational versus Austin Peay.
So, rumor has it.
Yeah, rumor has it. Like, that's how big of a deal the Auburn Daily Show is. So what can people who are fans of hitting balls with sticks feel on the plains this year? Baseball, softball, what are we in for? Let's do softball first. Harrison.
Softball first. Man, you're speaking my language right here, Lindsey. I'm a diamond sport enthusiast, grew up playing about diamond sports, so I'm very excited we get to talk a little bit today. Auburn softball's got a very, very high ceiling this year, man. This group was they were fun, they were exciting, they were young last year, and they only got better this year, bringing in a really, really strong recruiting class, a couple of transfers that have been instant impacts. And I had this the opportunity to talk a little bit with Dylan Larkin, Daniel Locke about the floor and ceiling for this group. And I had the floor hosting a regional, man. I really did. I know that that's aggressive. The other guys were a little more conservative and said just going to a regional. But I really think that if you don't host a regional this year, you're a little disappointed. And sky's the limit. I mean, Oklahoma City's there. The opportunity is there. There's a lot of fewer questions this year about the circle, your pitching rotation. We know about Matty Pinta. We know about Shelby Lowe. You wound up going and getting them some depth. And Shelby Lowe is, knock on wood, the healthiest she's been since she's been at Auburn. And when she's on, she's dominant. She held the longest ERA until she was visibly she held the lowest ERA, rather, until she was visibly injured in 2022. This group's really, really exciting. Offensively, nobody left, so you're only getting better. You hit six deep balls in your opening tournament, and Bree Ellis is batting 167 and has not poked one out yet. That's a ticking time bomb waiting to happen. Denver Bryant's really not caught fire at the plate yet. That's, like I said, another one of those you're just waiting for that to happen. Aspen Godwin, she's just not playing around. Batting 500 already, 10 ABs, and already has two deep balls. I mean, this group is top to bottom, Lindsey. They are different.
As a baseball guy, the thing that's odd to me that I have to get my head around every time I watch a softball game for Auburn, which my wife and kids love to do on ESPN Plus here, is your pitchers, your studs, can throw every day. Going back, like, there was a opening tournament last weekend. So you play Fordham, you play Indiana, you play Illinois in three games. Three wins. Auburn wins those three, 28-0. Matty Pinta throws 15 innings, allows 8 hits, 3 walks, 31 strikeouts, and no runs. And the concept of, like, yeah, we can throw Matty Pinta 3 days over the weekend. She threw 246 pitches over the weekend. It would probably kill a baseball player. And it's like, no, that's just what the studs do. Matty Pinta finished last year, I want to say she had something like 42 appearances. It's like ninth highest in program history for a single season. And, like, she set the record for starts with 35, and then she won like 23 of them. It works differently in softball, and you can ride the studs a little bit more. But like you said, there's a ton of depth on this team. Is there any weekend series coming up where it's like, yeah, Auburn's probably going to lose that series? Like, is that even realistic to think about? Like, they're probably the favorites in every series, aren't they?
Going until conference play, then you have to remember and keep in mind the SEC. It feels like I'm a broken record when I talk about this, but the SEC is just so deep. You have the Floridas of the world who stand in the way of everyone. Georgia's always a feisty team. Tennessee's always very, very good. Kentucky decided out of nowhere they wanted to be good last year. Alabama's always a force to be reckoned with, and you throw in the Iron Bowl rivalry, which I actually think that Alabama and Auburn, I'm not sure if they were scheduled this year. I have to look ahead. They got messed over last year. You didn't play the Iron Bowl of softball. I don't know. Don't ask me how that shook out.
There is the Iron Bowl of softball in Tuscaloosa, April 21st through 23rd.
Right.
So
I have to double check. Right now, the most important thing is this non-conference slate and making sure you get right. But there's not a series Auburn can't win.
Yeah.
There's just also a lot of series that could go either way because the SEC is so deep. And when you add Texas and Oklahoma in 2024, good night. It's only going to get deeper.
It's absolutely absurd. So, like, if I'm looking at the softball schedule for last year, 40-17 overall, 11-13 in conference, is the overall record 40-17? Does Auburn have more or less wins than that this year, in your opinion, on the record here?
I think it's in that ballpark. I think they are certainly talented enough to have more because they dropped a couple of home games against Florida where they were really in it, and then they just fell apart late against a veteran team that's been there, done that. Kentucky kind of same way, and kind of a silly series to drop there in 2022, but it happens. We see it in Diamond Sports all the time. You and I talked about it on the College Loop earlier in the week, actually. But I think that there's certainly an over-under is not a terrible 39.5 is not a terrible over-under for this team's win total, because I think that they're capable. Lindsay, I really do think that they're at least capable of going to a Super Regional. This group is just so talented, and it starts in the circle with you go and get your help with, you know, obviously you have Shelby Lowe and you have Matty Pinto. We know what they can do, but you go in and you add Annabelle Wydra from Michigan, transfer that wanted to come to Auburn in the first place, to my understanding, rather. Don't quote me there, but now you've got three pitchers that are all pitched to an 0-0-0 right now, and it's hard to hit against this kind of pitching when they won't give you anything to hit. And then if you turn around on the offensive side of the plate for Auburn, they just put softballs all over the yard. So I would be floored if they didn't match what they did last year. If it's a couple of chippy series with the Florida, with a sneaky Alabama series, maybe that's it. Maybe that's where you get slipped up. Mm-hmm. But Auburn getting picked 8th in the SEC was offensive.
Yeah. Speaking of getting picked farther back in the SEC, baseball kicks off tonight, first pitch at 4:00. They moved the game up beginning of the week because it was supposed to be incredibly cold by about 7-8 o'clock. Now the incredibly cold is going to be there, you know, game time. It'll be about mid-40s by the time the sun goes down in Plainsman Park. So if you're coming to the game tonight, put on a jacket. Definitely long pants and a jacket. I see too many college kids walking around in like shorts and a fleece, and I'm like, what are you doing?
You saw me last year.
Yes. But opening up for baseball with a kind of a feisty and hard to read Indiana team, right? This is a team, and I wrote a preview dropped late last night about Auburn baseball versus Indiana. Their ERA as a staff last year, 7.34. None of their starters finished, like one of their full-time starters finished with an ERA under 5. But here's the hard part. Of that entire staff, only 4 of those pitchers are back for 2023. There's a senior and 3 freshmen, and they brought in 9 transfers and 7 prep recruits. And so there's a little bit of question about what is Auburn going to face this weekend? What does it look like? Like, we know the senior that came back, lefty Ty Bothwell, you're going to see him. You're going to see in a transfer, Ben Seiler. And it's funny, Bothwell is 5'10", 180 or so. Hits mid-90s with a fastball, kind of a violent thing. Ben Seiler is like 6'6", 240. Fastball sits around 88, 89 miles an hour. Really odd contrast in physical styles to what the pitch does.
Lindsay, there's nothing wrong with being 5'9", 5'10". I'd just like to put that out there.
No, so I think 6 foot tall is better. Just going to put that out there. Yeah, it's me. But it's no, it's it's just something where and I think the big thing for Auburn this weekend is more so – rather than trying to figure out what these opposing pitchers do and manipulate your lineup or manipulate what you do to take advantage of that, just try to focus on yourself, right? You bring in a team, and we talked about this on the College Loop earlier this week, but ton of turnover, right? And specifically, you lost SEC co-player of the year, Sonny DeShera, should not have been co-player of the year, should have just won the whole thing. But it's something where Auburn's going to have to make up that offensive production that Sonny had, and it's going to kind of be attributed to great performances from a couple different players, both returners who are now full-time starters and transfers, and then pitching. Three-fourths of your rotation is gone to MLB, and so you have to come back in and kind of rebuild that offense or rebuild that pitching staff. We're going to see Chase Alsup, the sophomore, move from the bullpen to the rotation. He'll get the start tonight. You'll see Joseph Gonzalez, the amazing, masterful sinkerballer junior, getting the start on Saturday, and the true freshman Drew Nelson on Sunday. The big thing that I'm trying to figure out is what's a reasonable expectation for Auburn this season as far as postseason play? Because just like in softball, the SEC is also loaded in baseball, and projections have like 10 or 11 SEC teams making the postseason. And so that's kind of the big question we have is what's the ceiling for this Auburn team?
You know, Lindsay, it's hard to follow up a College World Series appearance, right? That's a high bar, especially after back-to-back occasions when the College World Series hosted, being there and after being criminally underrated, it almost feels like it's added pressure within the fan base, right?
Yeah.
I think that Auburn, from what you've informed me and from me doing my research, you're infinitely more wise on Auburn baseball, and I am committed to getting upping my ante and getting my head in the game this year more so than in the past. But when you look overall, I mean, this team could host a regional again.
Yeah.
They could also be traveling elsewhere to go to a regional. They could also be hosting a super regional. It's just so many different avenues and so much about diamond sports. And I kind of comp it to basketball too. I think it's kind of the same way. It's not always the best team at the end of the end of the year going down the stretch as much as it is who's the hottest. Mm-hmm. And who's feeling it the most, which – yeah, sometimes that works out to your favor. Sometimes it doesn't. The sky's the limit, but also I feel like the floor could be really low too.
Yeah, and with this Auburn team, Butch Thompson talked about it. There's a ton of talent. It's the returning experience is the question. Right. As far as, you know, again, guys who were part-time performers last year or didn't get in the lineup until late, now they're full season. You've brought transfers in from Power 5 schools like Cooper McMurray from Kansas. You've brought in non-Power 5 schools, outfielder Justin Kirby from Kent State. You brought in JUCO guys and Division II guys. So it's how quickly can they get up to speed in the SEC? And it was kind of telling. Butch Thompson talked last week to us about this time last year. Like, they didn't know how good Sonny DeShera would be. They didn't know if Nate LaRue was a better catcher or a pitcher. It's something where you uncover a lot of this stuff through the course of the season. And I think the quicker that Auburn can figure out, all right, these are the guys. These are the guys. These are the roles. This is the performance that we can expect from these guys or that we're going to get from these guys. The quicker they can do that, I think the higher the ceiling is on this team. I have them as a postseason team. I think the most likely outcome is a number two seed and going on the road. Obviously, selfish reasons, I'd love for them to be a one seed, be at home so I don't have to travel to cover them. That grass in Plainsman Park, it's such good grass. Everybody needs to come experience what that is. Happy birthday to Auburn's head groundskeeper. Today is his birthday. Working on his birthday. It's kind of a shame, but he wants Plainsman Park looking great. Right. And so the whole thing here is just the sooner you can get into a groove, the better. And the sooner you can get experience for some of these young players. And so you'll see true freshman Drew Nelson on Sunday. You'll probably see true freshman Zach Crotchfelt on Tuesday for the midweek game. And Butch talked Thursday about, we have veterans that, like, Tanner Bowman's throwing the ball almost as good as anybody all spring and fall, but he's a upperclassman. They want to get these freshmen experience so that they know what they have in them and they have as many options as possible to get through the season. So you're going to see a lot of piggybacking where each game in essence will have two starters.
Lindsay, we spoke about it. I'm not to cut you off. I'm sorry. I want to kind of expand here and ask you a question, if that's okay. Kind of roll over.
Yeah. Go ahead.
We talked a little bit earlier in the week, and you've talked a couple times about the importance of not having a cupcake non-conference in terms of RPI, things of that nature. It has to help you find that identity sooner than later, right?
The better quality competition you're facing, yeah. Obviously, the more, I guess, kind of practical real world experience you're getting. If you're trying to get freshman pitchers broken in, right? A Drew Nelson, for instance, something that Darren Schoenrock, the pitching coach, told us last week is he's like, in the SEC, you have to learn to get hit. You can't always just live outside and, you know, low and away and count on chase to get out of everything. You have to learn to get hit. And so having a non-conference schedule where instead of playing an Elon, nothing to Elon, you're playing in Indiana, you're playing a University of Southern California, you're playing quality teams that maybe not to the level of a SEC opponent, of a typical SEC opponent, but they're closer. And so it helps you get over that learning curve quicker so that by the time conference play gets here, your guys are comfortable. They're not mind blown about, oh man, now I got to go face LSU. Like, what am I in for? No, you've already faced some good teams. And so it's a little bit better. It's a great job by Auburn. And I've noticed they do this in softball too. They play really good teams. I mean, looking at this weekend for Auburn, it's not cupcakes. They're playing Villanova. They're playing Austin Peay. It's good teams, talented teams, not the level of an SEC team, but better than it would be if you were playing a random, you know, FCS team or something like that. And so just kind of helps you get over that learning curve quicker so you can get to your true and final form a little earlier.
I always like to comp it to your non-conference schedule to an internship when you're an undergraduate. If you're working in an internship, you're kind of getting that real world experience, but you're not really getting the full-time responsibilities. And if you're a college kid listening to this right now, I promise you, you will one day know exactly what I mean. And it's kind of like getting your feet wet non-consequentially for the most part. But also preparing you for the real world scenario. If that's a weird comparison, that's how I've always kind of depicted it.
Yeah. Coming up in just a second, fantastic weekend of sports in the Plains. We're going to go over that in just a minute. But first, this season, Auburn Daily has partnered with Prize Picks to bring fun and variety to the picks for 2023. Prize Picks is a free app that lets you choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from just about any sport in your wagers. Predict the over or under for the next game, and you can win big prizes if they do well. They have flex options. You can still get paid if you win 3 of 5 or 2 of 3, 5 of 6, things like that. You can even have multiple sports in the same parlay. There was times early in the year when I would have college basketball as well as bowl game football, like all, you know, NBA, NFL, all in the same prop. So use promo code Auburn to get double on your first deposit up to $100. It's promo code Auburn for double your first deposit with Prize Picks. So this weekend, both on and off the Plains, ton of sports going on. Last night, women's basketball takes on and defeats Texas A&M, kind of broke a skid there, 10-point victory. And then obviously softball today, baseball today, men's basketball on Saturday at Vanderbilt, women's basketball on Sunday at Tennessee. So last night's game, what was the big takeaway from women's victory over the Aggies last night?
And Lindsay, I know that Auburn snapped a 3-game losing streak last night, but they've just been playing the best basketball I've seen Auburn play in a long, long stretch of time over their past really 7 or 8 games. And last night was no exception. They come in against the worst team in the SEC in Texas A&M, which, first off, Auburn's got to be excited that they're not in that conversation anymore. So that's that's probably a nice step forward. But you had Carissa Richardson. You had youth step up. Your freshman Carissa Richardson stepped up. Obviously, Aisha Coulibaly is going to give you 15-plus every night. That's nothing new. Honestly, Scott Grayson literally got poked in the eye and drained a 3 in the corner the next play, which was – that was just cold. But it was one of those moments where you're like, Auburn, on paper, this game is way closer than you thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. Kind of thought Auburn was going to run away with it. Texas A&M and Auburn were two of the worst shooting teams in the league and both shot over 40% from the field last night. Don't ask me why. This is one of those games where you look and you're like, none of this makes sense. I can't make sense out of it because it's not logical. Like it just didn't add up. But Auburn was committed to their brand of basketball. We saw them go down by as many as 8 and once again come back, close that gap, and get themselves right back in position and eventually win the game. And we've seen kind of that transition point where this is a lazy comparison. Those earlier Bruce Pearl teams, when Auburn's starting to turn that corner and you start seeing them come back and close gaps and lose games, closer win games in that fashion, it's kind of the same concept. And it's encouraging to see that they're sticking to that physical brand of defense, but also being able to switch over to zone when they get into foul trouble. I was thoroughly impressed by Auburn's kind of just resilience last night, more so than anything, but also their commitment to their brand of basketball.
Yeah. Coming away with the victory, going to have them a little bit more momentum as we're getting towards the SEC tournament. Still going to be a tall task for them to make the postseason unless they win that tournament. Odds are they probably won't. You do have a dynastic South Carolina team that'll be in that same tournament. So, upsets can happen, but still feels like it's a good second year on the Plains for Johnny Harris. And then Saturday, men's basketball going to Vanderbilt, 7:30 broadcast on SEC Network. Something where it feels like this is one of those games that Auburn needs to win.
For sure.
It goes back to your quad 1, quad 2 wins. It goes back to you know, some of the rough stretches and some of the close losses you've had recently, you're trying to get positioning for the SEC tournament as well as seeding for the NCAA March Madness. And so what's the matchup we should be watching for in men's basketball versus Vanderbilt?
It's kind of a general statement here, Lindsay, but it's always going to be the guard play. It's going to be the guard play until they show me something else. And Wendell Green Jr., we know he can score. He can take over a game. He's dynamic. Zeb Jasper's kind of come on as of late and said, hey, by the way, I can shoot the ball, which I'm wondering why he's not been shooting the ball all year. That's neither here nor there. KD Johnson's had this late resurgence. That's your player to watch for Auburn. The past five games have been the best basketball I've seen KD Johnson in not 2021 or 2022. And he really has been special and really been the X factor for Auburn in large. It's Auburn's guard play, being able to take on a group of average to taller size guards once again, which we've seen Auburn struggle with. That's what you need to circle if you're a BP and company. And more importantly, Vanderbilt's playing as good a basketball as anybody in the country right now. This is a team that's coming in red hot. They've taken care of business as of late. Jerry Stackhouse has that team clicking. He feels like they're due for an NCAA tournament berth. I don't know if that's necessarily the case this year, but it's one of those games. If Auburn doesn't take this seriously, like this is probably going to be close anyways. It's going to come down to the guard play and if Jahni Broome's healthy.
Yeah, and so again, 7:30 in Nashville, Tennessee on the SEC Network. Before that, if you're in Auburn, plenty of options to do. 11 a.m. Equestrian versus Georgia. That'll be at the amazing horse, the equestrian center that we have, baseball versus Indiana at 2 p.m. The Auburn softball team is in action twice tomorrow, 2:30 versus Villanova, 5 p.m. versus Dayton. And then again, we'll cap the night off. You'll be home in time to catch men's basketball versus Vanderbilt. And then on Sunday, most of these baseball and softball back in action. Softball has one more game that night against Austin Peay at 2:30. Baseball closes the series at 1 versus Indiana. And before that, your women's basketball team at Tennessee to take on the Lady Volunteers at 11 a.m. Is that a game where we should be expecting Auburn to go in there and get the upset? Or is that more of a we're looking for a good showing? We want this team to continue to gel and get some more chemistry to close out the year.
Yeah, I like the way that you rounded that out. It's definitely the latter. It's tough to go in and take on any Tennessee women's basketball team, regardless of if they're up or down. They're a little bit down this year, but you always know they're going to be well coached. They're physical. They show up well, and attendance wise, their fan base does. And Auburn's just not there yet. They're not in that upper echelon of SEC teams. They're not in that top five grouping. If they can hang on and keep this within a 10-15 point game at the end, and you know what, maybe they slip up and win and prove me wrong, and then clip this, put me on Twitter. That's fine. I promise I won't be angry about it. I severely doubt that
Auburn. All publicity is good publicity.
That's right. Yeah, as long as you include the link to the Auburn Daily Show, that's all that matters to me. But I wouldn't expect a win. You don't go in expecting wins, and right now in the state of the program, but never rule things out. I mean, I was there when we stormed the court for a win over a top three Tennessee team last year.
There you go. And then closing off your night tomorrow night, you can watch on the SEC Network. Our women's gymnastics team is in action at Missouri. So they have to make a long trip to Columbia just to come home with a dub. Harrison, where can people go to follow you, check out everything you're doing, get more about everything you're up to?
If that's something you're interested in, I'm really sorry, and I hope that you're having a better day. But my Twitter handle is at @byHarrisonTarr. You can check out my work at the College Loop every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. We were talking all things Auburn between basketball, baseball, football, women's athletics, and everything in between. I'm also obviously here on the Auburn Daily Show on Wednesdays and Fridays. You know where to find that, I hope, if you're here. And all my written work is at theauburndaily.com. Thank you so much for having me again, Lindsay. It's always fun.
Absolutely. I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. All my written work, auburndaily.com as well as my podcast, Locked In MLB Prospects, available wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Until next time, enjoy your weekend. This has been the Auburn Daily Show.